Grow on the Go with Donna and Kevin Carter, an exclusive presentation of Faith Strong Today. Listen for new episodes every Tuesday and subscribe to the podcast at faithstrongtoday.com.
I'm Kevin Carter.
And I'm Donna Carter.
And you're listening to Grow on the Go. And today we're continuing our series on kind of what it takes to be a good friend, based on Mom's book, Friend Me.
Turning faces into lasting friendships.
Thank you for filling in the subtitle. I never remember the whole thing. I'm sorry.
One of bad these daughter. Days, I'm going to write a book with a short title.
Okay, pal. We'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Okay.
You're also someday going to write a list that isn't full of alliterations.
Maybe. Maybe I might.
You're not.
No.
I'm telling you right now.
Okay.
I wasn't asking you. I'm telling you.
Okay.
Yeah. So before we get started again, I'd like to apologize once more. I am still sick. Still can't breathe through my nose. So, yep, enjoy this next half hour of mouth breathing. It's my gift to you.
That's very special.
I'm a special person. You made me this way.
So let's just take a couple minutes to review, because we've been, you know, we've been at this for a little while. The topics that we've been talking about concerning friendship
come... It's like a recipe for what you should have in a friendship. Let's go through the traits we've talked about already. Let's
right.
review.
So we talked about affinity.
Yep.
Which is just that click that you feel with some people.
The spark.
And we talked about how it can be over something fairly surface, like a mutual passion for, you know, Comic-Con or shoes or whatever. Or it can be about something deeper, like, you know, you're super passionate about feminism and getting women out of the sex trade and that kind of thing. I'm super passionate about those things too, but also about probably more for me about evangelism, about helping women and children reach their full potential. So when the affinity is over something like that, that makes a friendship a much deeper friendship. And then we talked about availability.
And that's just about both making time, physical time, and making, you know, space in your heart to be there for someone, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like it. I like the way you said that.
Oh, thanks.
And then we talked about authenticity, which is just that willingness to really be known, right? To allow somebody to love and accept you as you really are.
To see who you are in your most honest
state. As opposed to, you know, role-playing where, you know, the person one friend pretends to be is accepted by the person the other friend pretends to be. There's no real acceptance in that. So that's what we've talked about so far. And I want to talk about affirmation today and how important that is in friendship and really any relationship.
My friends and I, we have this joke that when we hang out, it's like a blowout affirmation fest. It's like, you look so great today. Oh, thank you. I love what you're doing with your hair. You're totally killing it in school right now. I'm so proud of you. It's like aggressively supporting each other.
Nice.
Yeah, it's fun.
Is it genuine?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah. That's very cool.
I mean, it's genuine when I say it. I don't know about them.
And pretty unusual, really. I don't feel like we're a affirmation culture.
Well, feminists. See, it's funny because I surround myself so much with feminists. In my training to become a wrestler, I've encountered one other woman who's also training. And I kind of expected a similar attitude from her. She's only 21. She's quite young. Similar attitude from her. And so, like, she'll do something in the ring and I'll be like, oh, your rope work is looking so great. And, like, you're killing it. I'm so proud of you. And then she kind of sets me up to look stupid. And I'm like,
oh,
I forgot that people do this. This feels awful. Why would you be like that? It's weird. Once you hang out with a lot of feminists and you're used to always building each other up, when you hang out with someone else, it's like, oh, that's awful. Why do people do that?
Well, and it costs so little,
right?
To affirm somebody.
Right.
I affirm total strangers all the time.
Oh, me too. I have a thing where if someone catches my eye in some way, I have to tell them. And I try to be really polite about it because I don't like when strangers, specifically men, obviously, mm-hmm. go out of their way to be like, I don't know, something weird. Like, I usually start with an apology to be like, hi, I'm sorry to bother you. I definitely don't want to make you uncomfortable. I just want you to know you have beautiful eyes, or your eyebrows are just the best, or I love what you're doing with your outfit. Your whole look is working for you. I try to compliment eyebrows a lot, though, because when I get eyebrow compliments, it, like, makes my week.
I saw a woman at the supermarket, and I actually kind of had to run after to catch her. But
that's unsettling. Don't do that.
Just a couple of steps. And I said to her, I just wanted you to know you really look great today. And she said, oh, that means so much. That makes my whole day. She had just lost a whole bunch of weight.
Oh, that's so
and
nice.
And so she told me it really made her day. And I thought, that cost me so little.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think it's really important.
I once told someone that I liked their pants and they like were really unimpressed with me. And I was like, oh, now I feel weird. I just like your pants. I just want you to know that I like your pants. And now I'm never going to compliment anyone's pants ever again. Way to go, stranger. You ruined it for everyone.
I think it's interesting that the Bible equates affirmation with physical necessities like food and water. Proverbs 18:20 says, words satisfy the soul as food satisfies the stomach. The right words on a person's lips bring satisfaction.
In our society, we're kind of brought up to believe that we shouldn't need or want anyone else's affirmation. We shouldn't need or want anyone else's, like, well done. So I wonder where the balance is there. Because according to the Bible, we need it to carry on. We need that kind of encouragement to be satisfied on a spiritual level. So I'm wondering what the differences are between what we should need, like what we require, and what we shouldn't. Because doesn't the Bible also say that we should only be seeking like the validation of God, not of man?
Yeah, I think the way I look at it is, I need to be an affirmer of other people, but I shouldn't go around looking for affirmation from other people.
Okay.
And if I'm living to please people instead of pleasing God, that's going to take me down all kinds of bad roads.
Yes. Peer pressure.
Yeah.
Suddenly we're in an after-school special.
Yeah, on peer pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Most people on this planet are suffering from affirmation deprivation. Compliments just aren't a natural part of most people's vocabulary.
Which is really sad. And how does that happen? I feel like they should be. And that's why so many people aren't comfortable taking compliments.
Yeah.
Oh, we complimented totally. Each other more often. We could just be like, thanks, and move on. There's a fun trend. I follow a blog called White Dudes Texting. And it's just like dating sites, messages people are getting from men, usually white men, on dating sites that are just unbelievably unreasonable. And frequently, women have started doing this experiment where if a man compliments them, they'll either agree or just say thank you. And so someone will be like, you have beautiful eyes. And they'll be like, yeah, I know, thank you. And these men get so upset and they're like, whoa, full of yourself much? And it's like, I just agree
really?
With you. Yeah. It's a really interesting trend. A lot of men, obviously not all men, but a lot of men get really uncomfortable with women being aware of their worth and of their beauty. It's really strange.
It can be odd. It can be uncomfortable when a man compliments you, a man that you don't know. It happened to me today in the park.
Yeah.
I'm just walking my dog, minding my own business, and this man he made a beeline to me, really.
He chased after you like you did to that poor woman?
Well, we were approaching.
She was on the other foot Mom.
We were approaching each other on the path. But, you know, when you are on a footpath,
you make space you stay for each
on
other.
You stay on the right.
He and just so, inserted himself in your path.
He kind of did. Ugh. I know, and complimented me, and it was uncomfortable because I'm looking around like, how many other people
I am alone
are in the park
here?
Right
yeah.
Now?
Well, and I think that's the type of thing we need to be aware of, like women complimenting women, men complimenting men. We do need to be aware of our surroundings.
Yeah, for
is
sure.
This going to seem threatening? That's why I usually start with an apology to be like, I come in peace. I know I'm a little scary to look at, but I'm not going to hurt you.
Okay, so let's take physical compliments off the table. If an employee is consistently on time for work, should he expect to hear his boss say something like, way to go? You know, meaning to tell you how much I appreciate that you're punctual every day.
Well, I mean, I think no, because that's like saying to like a server, like, yeah, you brought food to all those tables that ordered food. Like, that's your job. You're supposed to be there on time. If you were like 5 minutes early and ready to start your shift before your shift starts, I'd say like, and even then, maybe not necessarily expect praise, but that would be praiseworthy.
Well, and what's wrong with just complimenting somebody for doing a good job?
Hey, even if you're very punctual. Congratulations on your punctuality. Seems like a weird thing to compliment.
Okay, but you better believe that the boss is going to say something if the employee is habitually late.
Very true.
So anyway, sometimes for sure we have to have hard conversations with people when, you know, someone is habitually late or they're doing something else that's not appropriate.
I feel like I need to confess that I was like 20 minutes late today. I feel like you're coming after me on the podcast. And now I'm uncomfortable, I'm guilty.
I'm really not. I had planned to cover that whole theme before you even showed up.
I don't know. Okay, but you're just like, Kevin's going to be 20 minutes late today.
Yeah, I'm just going to needle at her
on mic.
Yeah. But we sometimes have to have hard conversations. But even that can be done in an affirming way. In Ephesians 4:13, we're told to speak the truth in love. And we can drill down on the truth, even when it's a difficult topic, mm-hmm. if we do it in love. And even then it can be affirming. Think about was one time you and Kendall and I went out to, we were kind of having a girls' date. It was a long time ago. And I think we were starting off in a restaurant, like a fast food place. And I don't remember what the person serving us was doing, but I was frustrated and I kind of barked at the person serving us. That really bothered Kendall. So she barked at me.
I was going to say good for Kendall, but she was probably just embarrassed. She was so easily embarrassed.
Well, the reality is, when I got my brain back, I modeled what I should have done with the person serving us. And I said to her, you are welcome to point out anything that I'm saying or doing that you feel is inappropriate. Mm-hmm. I expect you to do that. I want you to do that. But there's a positive way to do that, and there's a negative way to do that. And I said to her, you have phenomenal interpersonal skills. I know you have the tools to handle that situation in a much better way.
She's definitely got phenomenal interpersonal skills now.
And very good tools. And she even did back then. I think she was in her behavioral sciences degree at that point.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so we weren't like 8 years old.
No, you weren't little.
She was an adult.
Yeah, she was. And so you know, eventually my brain came back and I did model to her in correcting her how that can be done in a way that's positive. Granted, I, you know, wish I'd have thought of that with the server
and, yeah,
you know, not avoided the whole situation for sure. So I think we do, sadly, pay more attention to people's shortcomings mm-hmm. than their successes. It seems like people don't really affirm a job well done. We rarely recognize or affirm the well-honed skills or commendable character qualities of other people. Why do you think we're programmed to notice and name each other's shortcomings and then we downplay or flat out disregard their strengths?
I have no idea, but it does remind me of something I saw on social media a couple days ago. Someone who was from your generation. So
oh, like ancient.
So old. Like 50s-ish.
Okay.
Had gone on a bit of a social media rant saying, to everyone working in the service industry, the appropriate response to thank you is not no problem, it's you're welcome, and you should be thanking me. And someone else kind of took it apart and was like, well, from that generation, the response is you're welcome because, and I don't know if this is true, but it did strike me as interesting. The response is you're welcome because any particular service is seen as something that wasn't necessarily expected of you. My generation, we're more likely to say, oh, no problem. Like if I hold the door for someone and they say thank you, I'll always say no problem and never say you're welcome. Because to me, I want them to know that it was no issue for me to do. It was no problem. And I'm aware that I'm not going above and beyond holding a door for them. And it's kind of, I'm not sure I agree with it or not, but it's kind of an interesting perspective in the way different generations
Very
are socialized.
Subtle,
right?
It almost just seems like semantics.
And it may be, which is why I'm like, I'm not sure I agree with this or not, but it's an interesting point. And you're supposed to thank me? Like, okay, stop. I mean, maybe they're American, but I live in Canada where the response to thank you is thank you. And we just thank each other forever and we never leave.
And say excuse me to the wall when we
I've
it.
Done that. I bumped into a car
totally
the other day and
that.
I said, oh, whoops, excuse me.
I saw
another post on social media that was like a mock dictionary entry. And it said, oop, like OOP. And it's the word Canadians use before apologizing or saying, excuse me, whoop. Sorry.
Funny.
Not oops. Whoop.
Why do you think it's so, you mentioned this earlier, why do you think we feel so awkward about receiving affirmation?
I think it's because, for me, it feels like there's something expected of me, or I need to like play off like I don't agree, even if I do agree. If someone's like, you've got killer eyebrows, I'm like, I know. I spend so much time on my eyebrows, it's disgusting. So yes, I know my eyebrows are killer, but thank you for noticing. But that's not appropriate. It's not appropriate to be
right.
Just like,
which is sort of
which
silly.
Which is fair. Well, I don't know. I think it's kind of fair, but we don't want to seem vain. It's like,
I
feel.
If we could take vanity off the table, if we could just be honest and say, yeah, I do have good qualities. I do have strengths.
Yeah.
I also have weaknesses.
Yeah.
But this happens to be a strength and I
agree with you. Eyebrows happen to be a strength. I think it's also the way I feel about accepting compliments is similar to the way I feel about accepting gifts. I feel awkward accepting gifts because I want whomever is giving them to me to know how much I appreciate it. And I want my reaction to show my appreciation. I almost said appreciativeness. I want my reaction to show my appreciation, but also not seem disingenuous. I don't want to go so over the top that they start thinking I'm faking it, but I don't want to underplay it. I don't want it to be too subtle so they think I don't care, which maybe this is a weird social anxiety issue that only I have, but it's a similar way to how I feel about compliments. And it's also just acknowledging that someone's noticed you, which a lot of people are uncomfortable with. I don't know what that feels like, but
maybe sometimes we don't agree with the person's compliment,
very
and
true.
So it feels very awkward. Or maybe we're just so unaccustomed to having our strengths or good qualities named because affirmation is kind of rare.
Very true.
The act of affirming someone means just noticing them and validating who they are and what they do. I think it's one of the most precious gifts that we can give to another person. My friend Wendy is an excellent affirmer. Wendy thinks I can do more than I think I can do, and she's always encouraging me to try. God has given me big dreams, and I'm a passionate person, unlike you, of course.
Yeah, I am. I don't care about anything. A friend of mine said she does a lot of online dating, and guys will ask her, like, what are you passionate about? And she's like, liquid lipstick, I don't know. And I'm like, what does that feel like? What does it feel? And she's a feminist too. And I just found out a status First Nation person. And actually her tribe is having their status revoked. And I'm like, how are you not passionate about that? Like, that's crazy to me.
We're all wired differently.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not that I believe my talents are so big or so plentiful. I just live with this overwhelming desire to make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And so I dream big. And sometimes, I don't know if this happens to you, but when I share my dreams with others, people kind of look at you like you've got two heads, you know? Like, who do you think you are?
Yep. Well, people kind of seem to get, in my experience, people get a little bit offended when you want to make a dent in, like, the injustice in the world, because I think the thinking is like, well, if this is the way it is now, don't you think other people have tried? And why couldn't they do it, but you can? It's like, I don't know. I'm not saying I can. I'm saying I'd like to try.
Yeah. Exactly. And some of those people have made a huge difference.
Yeah. Well, it's like after the women's marches that happened all over the world recently, people were saying on Facebook, like, okay, but you're just having a tantrum. What does marching actually do? What does marching actually fix? And I'm like, a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Women's suffrage came from marching.
Yeah.
The French Revolution started, apparently, don't quote me on this, but my French historian friend says that the French Revolution started with women marching for bread. Well, the civil rights movement.
Yes.
Like, marches do make a difference.
Yeah,
stop downplaying it and calling it a tantrum. It's a political protest.
But how great to have a friend to listen to your what you're passionate about and say, you can do that. When are you going to start?
Yep.
I'm totally with you on this.
Kevin Smith, a director most people don't like, but I'm quite fond of, said to his sister that he wanted to direct movies. And he wanted to be a director. And she was like, well, don't want to be a director. Just be a director. And he was like,
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I guess I could just be a director.
Why don't I try and do that?
Yeah.
I think we all need somebody to believe in us, to help us reach our potential, to take all that we have as far as it can go. And for some, this person is a parent cheering from the sidelines of a soccer game, even in, you know, minus 20 temperatures. For others, it's a coach who calls out the talent of a young athlete. It could be a teacher who recognizes an academic diamond in the rough. And for others, it's a close friend who's never further than a phone call away. I've got a friend who went through a lot of rocky patches in her marriage, times of deep loneliness, and when I'm pretty sure the only words of affirmation she heard were from me. What a privilege to be the cheerleader in her life, to say things like, you're a great mom, or you look gorgeous today, or that was a really difficult situation and you handled it beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
Proverbs 18:4 says, a person's words can be life-giving water. I think of a plant that just blossoms, you know, because it's nourished by fresh water and warm sunshine. And I think that's what it is when someone expects the best of us and then encourages us along the path in the pursuit of a goal, whether it's a big accomplishment or even just the survival of another day, if that's where somebody's at.
Well, and I think one of the reasons we're hesitant sometimes is that we don't want to seem condescending. Like, I know for me, I will say to people, like, I'm proud of you. Even sometimes it's struggles I haven't personally experienced. Mental illness struggles, employment struggles, whatever. I'll say, like, I'm really proud of you. Getting out of abusive relationships, I'm really proud of you. I read Amy Poehler's book, and she said one of her least favorite things about getting older is younger people saying that they're proud of you. And I'm like, oh, crap. Like, I've said that to you. I've said I'm proud of you.
And after that,
I don't know if you remember me saying, like, does it bother you when I tell you that I'm proud of you because you're my mother and it's not my job to be proud of you? And so now I worry about things like that. And I mean, maybe that's just me who is like ultra PC Kevin Carter, but I think that could be one of the things that keeps us from it.
That's never been an offensive thing for me.
No,
I do think it's a little bit weird when somebody younger than me, like a salesperson in a store, calls me hun or
darling. That's weird. Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like that from anybody.
Weird.
I don't like anyone using pet names for me if I haven't basically given them explicit, like, permission to use pet names for me. There are three people in the whole, well, you and Dad count as one, sorry. Three people in the whole world that get to call me Kevy. You and Dad, my friend Joel, and my friend Henry. Those are the only people that get to call me Kevy.
How about Grandma? Doesn't Grandma get to
Grandma
call me
Kevy? Grandma can call me Kevy. Yeah, Grandma can call me Kevy. But like aunts and uncles, I would prefer they didn't. Yeah. I'm not going to get upset at them, but I don't like the way it sounds.
What about Kevy Bear?
No. No.
You were
no
my Kevy Bear for years.
You can call me Bear still if you want, but
okay.
No Kevy Bear.
Okay.
Kevy's pushing it. You
okay.
need to know. And I have noticed that you don't call me Kevy, which I do appreciate.
Guess I don't.
You call me Kev. Sometimes you call me Bear. I'm okay with Bear. I've leaned into the bear thing.
You
I have a bear tattoo.
Yes,
I'm wearing
a
bear ring right now. Sorry, I think I threw you off.
Affirmation is just so important because we are told so many times in any given day, either subtly or overtly, that we don't measure up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many times a day do we even say that to ourselves?
Oh, man. Applying for jobs and hearing nothing back except, no, thank you. That's like, oh, okay. In a very literal way, I'm being told, nope, not good enough on
rejection.
A daily basis. Yeah. It's awful.
According to psychologists, it takes 7 positive inputs to counteract 1 negative input.
So what you're saying is I need to get 7 jobs for every job I've been rejected for?
Oh dear, that's a lot of jobs.
I need roughly 7 million jobs, please.
But I think the negative things stick in our brains so much better than the positive things. And maybe the reason is that once we've determined what we believe to be the truth about ourselves, we just go around collecting data that supports our belief while we discount all evidence to the contrary.
Right.
How important, then, that we have people in our lives who, and we are people in other people's lives, who love one another by being truth tellers in the most positive and uplifting sense.
So how do we... if there are people who are not affirming in any way, shape, or form, A, how do we recognize that? Because we probably aren't, like, sitting there being like, well, all of my friends think I'm the worst thing ever, but that's fine. Like, how do we, A, start to recognize that they're not affirming people, and B, how do we deal with that after? Just kind of slowly fade away?
Well, we can certainly choose who we pull into our closed circle.
Mm-hmm.
If we have people who are kind of basement people as opposed to balcony people.
Basement people.
Like they're always pulling you down.
Like Eeyore friends?
Eeyore friends. Okay, that's maybe a good
basement
way to put
people.
It.
What are you trying to say? I live in a basement.
You are a
very
basement
happy in my basement dwelling. Second
no,
time
I mean people...
That is the second time I've been called a basement dweller today.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah.
That's not affirming, is
it's
it?
It's not affirming at
okay,
all.
I'm sorry. I don't see you as a basement dweller.
I am a basement...
occupant?
No. Basement... I don't know. Basement gnome.
Affirming a friend, noticing and naming his or her strengths and accomplishments can refuel a weary soul. It can help keep somebody moving forward or even unleash their potential. Affirmation may not come naturally at first. Like almost every aspect of friendship, affirmation involves risk. I mean, you never really know how it's going to be received.
Right.
But when we put our positive thoughts into words for the benefit of our friends, it can make a huge difference in their lives. It can give them the courage to keep going, to take risks, and to become all that they can be. When was the last time you affirmed someone in your circle of friends? Who can you affirm today?
And everything we've covered today and in the last few weeks is part of your book, Friend Me.
Turning faces into lasting friendships.
Thank you. I was going to try to attempt it and my mind went completely blank.
I'll forgive you because you have a cold.
Thanks.
And because I think you're really awesome.
I was going to say, like, where's the affirmation
right there?
But you found
right
it.
There.
It was generic. I'd give it a 4 out of 10, but that's okay.
Oh, wow.
Hey, honest. Being honest. I gave you 4. Give me that. So right now, with Donna Stoko, you can get that book. And then for an additional $3, you will donate that same book to a woman in need, correct?
Yes.
Well, I think that's it for us today on Grow on the Go. I'm Kevin Carter.
And I'm Donna Carter, inviting you to Grow on the Go.
Thanks for listening to Grow on the Go. Share this episode on social media and find more great programs at faithstrongtoday.com.